Well, hello everyone, and how are you all doing? Are you doing good? Yay! Welcome to another podcast, rambly type thingy, whatever you want to call it. Now, you may notice that my voice is slightly different. I'm a little bit stuffed up because I have hay fever for the last couple of days. Now, it's not major, but it's like annoying. You know, when you record and these things happen, you're like, no, I've got my hands up to the gods for the last couple of days. I'm like, no, why me? Why? And they're like, fuck you and your first world problems. You know, so you're going to have to put up with me. And it is what it is. But I go training tomorrow and hopefully that will be the end of that. So this week I found it hard to get to the microphone, which is another kind of bane of mine. When I can't get to the microphone, I'm like, oh, because I was working on my soundproof room, which is really, really coming along well. I have all the exterior done and it's a really cool building. I had my uncle design it for me. So it's like custom built and it's really, really amazing. I was running around the place looking for materials and trying to get it done because I set myself a deadline. And, you know, I do that. Like, I set deadlines and when I don't meet them, I'm kind of like, oh, I get the mads, as we say here, you know. I get the mads if I don't get that done. So there was that and then there was the little touch of hay fever. So I was like, oh, God. But, you know, we'll get on with it. And the soundproof room is going to give me so much freedom, you know, because when you record as well, like, you know, outside sounds, people say, oh, it's no big deal, it's not, but it is, because when you're concentrating on something, especially, you know, with me, like, I'm sitting here and I can hear dogs barking, I can hear everything, is I'm like a bat, I'm tuned into my surroundings, you know, I'm really, really tuned in. So when I'm making something, if it's, you know, if I'm in the flow or something, I said, was that a fucking dog, was that a fucking seagull? And I'm like, oh, so then I have to go back over and listen to that. And not only do I have to listen to my own voice, which is, oh, God. And there's signs behind why people hate their own voice, you know. And what I do with my voice then on top of it, you know, the things that I do is like, oh, God, I have to listen to that. I have to listen to my voice, the outside sounds. I have to concentrate on, you know, everything. And even, you know, am I being too repetitive? Do I need to take stuff out? What's going on here? You know, why did I do this? Because when you do record, you can't be an autopilot, you know, when that, whatever that is, kicks in, when it takes over, that energy takes over, it starts talking on its own, like, and you're just kind of like in taking a back seat and let it do what it does. And it will, like, the soundproof room will really, really help and keep those, you know, seagulls away, especially the seagulls, because, you know, I moved from the city to the countryside and I was like, yeah, no more seagulls. But, like, I moved to the coast, so what was I thinking? So now I'm not dealing with, like, 12 seagulls or 14 seagulls or 15 and a half seagulls. I'm dealing with, like, 45, 60 fucking seagulls. And they're like, ah! I don't know why they sound like dolphins, but you know what I mean? They're kind of laughing at me and I'm going in sometimes and I'm kind of sneaking in. You know, I'm going in and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to get some stuff done today. Next day, just kind of start circling around me, you know, like the albatross and the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, you know, they're really ominous, like circling around going, meh, meh. You're not recording today, you bollocks. So to get rid of those is like, yeah, it'll be super, super cool. I actually read a really funny story about seagulls, you know, and it reminded me of my own, you know, what do I say, encounters and joys, but, and, you know, I made that audio, Gail interrupted my milkshake brings all the girls to the yard, my milkshake brings all the girls to the yard, and you have to check that one out if you, didn't hear it, and it was inspired from that, like, from seagulls, from, you know, kids and from dogs and, you know, these sounds that you hear and you're like, ah, you're getting the mads and you're trying to get stuff done. But anyway, I heard the story, I read the story and it was really, really funny. So it was about this guy from Canada. And this is actually a true story now. You can look it up. It's happened like 17 years ago, but it came up recently again because I'll tell you why actually. So he's from Canada anyway and he travels to he was traveling to this work conference and the work conference was situated where he grew up. So he knew that he'd meet up with some of his old buddies, you know. So he called up his buddies and he said, like, do you want anything? Do you want me to bring you anything? And they had found out that there was really nice pepperoni, apparently. pepperoni apparently, around where he was living at that time. So I said, can you bring some of that down to us? And there was a few of the lads there. So he says, yeah, I can. So what he decided to do is he went into his city and he, you know, packed up a load of pepperoni in a suitcase and he said he'd bring that down to the lads. So he heads to the work conference anyway and he checks into the hotel. And when he gets to the hotel, when he checks in, he notices that there's no fridge in the room. So he says, what am I going to do? He improvises and he goes and he opens the window and he takes out all the pepperoni out of the suitcase. And he puts it across the window ledge. And then he decides to go in town and, you know, go for a few pints or, you know, a few jars or nightclubbing or whatever he was going to do. And he shot in town. And after a couple of hours, he came back. And when he came back, he was going up the hotel corridor. Like, and he was like, what the hell? He could hear a big ruckus, you know. He could hear, like, a lot of screaming and everything in his room. And he's like, I suppose he thought there was a murder in his room or something. And he's like, what's going on? So he opens the door gingerly. And there's like, he said like 40 seagulls in his hotel room. They had come in for the pepperoni. And what they were doing then is they were competing for it. So they're like, it was chaos. And they're like, and they're all fighting inside the room. And he's like, holy shit, there's feathers everywhere. And apparently they're allergic to pepperoni, you know, when it goes into their bellies, they actually poop it out. So they were pooping pepperoni all over the room, right? Like white pepperoni poop everywhere. Imagine the smell now, right? And he's like, holy fuck. And they're fighting and they're like, and the feathers flying everywhere. And then he noticed that they were drooling, that they actually drooled. So they were drooling into the ashtrays, they were drooling, you know, on the cushions of the room. And he was trying to shoo him then. He was trying to like, get out, you fuckers. And he was chasing him around the place. And he's like, get out. Because he knew he was in trouble. But as he was, he actually clipped a hairdryer that was next to the sink. And the hairdryer went into the water. And it blew out the lights in the place on top of everything else now, right? So reception then was alerted. And he eventually got all the seagulls out. He managed to get them all out. And he... reception called him and he was like, oh, a bit of a mishap in the room, like. And they're like, what happened? And he's telling them, like, so he says, send up a cleaner, you know. And the cleaner came up and he said he looked in the cleaner's at the cleaner's face and he said he'd never seen an expression like in his life. It was like, you know, total defeat. Like, he's like, oh, what do you say, what do, you know. The place was absolutely mangled. So apparently, anyway, they banned his employer from the hotel. And this was 17 years ago. And he recently wrote a letter to them apologising. And they accepted his apology. So can you imagine the chaos, like, when he walked in? I mean, I'm telling you, those birds, like, they don't mess around. And that's why I created that audio. No, they're just, like, they're crazy, like. And I think the PR from the hotel actually replied to the letter and said, like, oh, if you want to come down again with food, we actually got air conditioning in the room, so your room is now like a fridge. And that's what you call brilliant PR, you know. But you know, like, you know those stories, like, they're just so funny, aren't they? And what makes them really funny is that they really happened. I mean, that one there is like a Mr. Bean episode. You can totally see Mr. Bean coming into the hotel room and, you know, he left his pepperoni by the window and the seagulls come in and made a fucking easier of him and shit in his head. And all that kind of jazz. Like, and you can see the chaos and the comedic value of it and all that. And I just love that. That's like, all my stories are always real. I might change the names of the places around sometimes, and I might change names of the people just to keep the privacy factor there. But last week on Patreon, I was asking people, you know, about the funniest way someone tried to pick them up, you know, tried to chat them up or pick them up. Because I love those questions, because they do, like, you know, bring up memories in my mind. You know, I actually thought of three stories like a shot when I asked the question. And then I was reading down through people's experiences and, oh my God, it was side-splitting, you know. It was just such an amazing thread and everyone was in stitches and laughing. And but one of the stories that I told was I was bouncing in a club, you know, because I was a bouncer. Yeah, I was a bouncer. So I was bouncing in the club and I'm working anyway. It's like about, I don't know, about half 11 at night, 11 o'clock or something. And, you know, I'm just looking around anyway. And I spot these two girls, you know, and they're kind of waving over. And I'm like, hi, hi. Because I am, like, I'm really shy, painfully shy as well, you know. And like, hi, hi. And they keep kind of waving over. And I'm like, fucking, like, who's this, like, you know, is this somebody that I knew before and I can't remember, or you know, what's going on? And they keep kind of waving over and I'm like, yeah. So next they decide to walk over and I'm like, oh my God, no. And they come over and they're like looking at me up and down, like. And then one of them says to the other, like, Gillian, look at his fucking smile. It's very natural, like, isn't it? Like, oh God. I'm like, hi girls, how are you? And they're like, hi. And then they look at me again and one of them says, we work in Pfizer's. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then they look down at my Celtic Warrior, down at my Dalek, and they go, we make Viagra. And I'm like, and then one of them says, we know what's up, like. And I'm like, oh. And what came out of my mouth was like, oh, that must be a hard job. And that was supposed to be funny. And they just looked at me. And there I am, and I'm kind of like, oh, I'm dying. I'm really dying. And I'm thinking, like, what's their plan, you know? What is it like? And I was like, are they going to try to, you know, do they have pills in their pockets? Are they going to kidnap me? Are they going to bring me back to a room and, you know, keep me as a Viagra slave or something for a few years? You know, feed my Viagra and just not let me out of the room. And here we go again, big boy. Like, oh, Jesus. And it's just the most bizarre chat up lane, you know, because, you know, they do make Viagra in Pfizer's. You actually around that area in East Cork, there's a lot of... you know, kind of rumours and banter about the men being very virile down there, you know, everyone's walking around with woodies in their pockets. But like, it was just brilliant. And the funniest thing about them is like, they were just so funny as well, you know, they were really, really funny, but deadly serious at the same time. And I still think that they were going to, you know, kidnap me and make me their Viagra slave. But I did sneak out the back door of the club that night. I did, like, I have to admit. Can you see it? Like, I'm, you know, running out, or coming out the back door and I'm, like, looking up and down the alley. And then I run, rah, and then the Viagra sisters are coming after me, like, yo, come back here, pop these fucking pills. Oh, God, it was such an experience. But, you know, Viagra, like, I mean, it's such a funny drug, like, when you think about it. I mean, did you know that it was originally designed for people with heart problems? You know, it was a heart medication. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine the guy that first took it, like, you know, he's sitting there and he's like, okay. He's like, all right, that's funny. The doctor taught me to take one of these new blue tablets. And he's like, what the fuck? My heart is pounding. And then he looks down and the woody's coming up. Imagine the surprise he got. Like, his heart got faster, his woody got bigger. He's like, what's going on? It must have been just like a complete another mind fuck. Like, and can you imagine his wife? Like yesterday he was complaining about chest pain, and today he's like all loved up. He's like, hey baby, you want to be my Viagra wife? Oh God. Which leads me to, did you ever hear of the diary of the Viagra wife? No? I know what I'm asking you for, because I can't hear the answer, so I'll just say no and assume that you didn't anyway, okay? So it goes like this, right? She's a Viagra wife, right? She's keeping a diary, so she's like, day one, just celebrated our 25th anniversary with not much to celebrate. When it came to reenact our wedding night, he locked himself in his room and cried. Day two, today he says he's a big secret to tell me. He's impotent. He said he wants me to be the first to know. Why doesn't he tell me something I don't know? I mean, does he think I haven't noticed? Day three, the marriage is in deep trouble. I mean, a woman has needs, like. Yesterday, I saw a picture of the Eiffel Tower and I burst into tears. Day four, a miracle has happened. A miracle. There's this new drug on the market that will fix his problem, and it's called Viagra. I told him that if he takes Viagra, things will be just like the way they were before on our wedding night. And I think it will work. I replaced his Prozac with Viagra, and hopefully it will lift something other than his mood. Day five. What absolute bliss. Day six. Isn't life wonderful? But it's very difficult to write this while he's doing that. Day seven. Oh my God, the Viagra thing has gone to his head. No pun intended. Yesterday at Burger King, the manager asked me if I'd like a Whopper, and he thought they were talking about him. I have to admit, it was very nice, and I don't think I've ever been so happy. Day 8. I think he took too many over the weekend. Yesterday, instead of mowing the lawn, he was using his new friend as a weed whacker. I'm also getting sore down there. Day 9, no time to write, he might catch me. Day 10, okay, I admit it, I'm hiding. I mean, a girl can only take so much, and to make matters worse, he's washing down the Viagra with neat whiskey. What am I to do? I feel tacky all over. Day 11, I'm basically being screwed to death. It's like living with a Black & Decker drill. I woke up this morning hot glued to the bed. Even my armpits hurt. He's a complete pig. Day 12, I wish he was gay. I've stopped wearing makeup, cleaning my teeth or even washing. But he still keeps coming after me. Even yawning has become dangerous. Day 13, every time I shut my eyes, there's a sneak attack. It's like going to bed with a Scud missile. I can hardly walk. And if he tries that oops, sorry thing again, I think I'll kill the bastard. Day 14, I've done everything to turn him off. Nothing is working. But nothing is working. I even start to dress like a nun, but it seems to make him more horny. Please help me. Day 15, I think I'll have to kill him. I'm starting to stick to everything I sit on. The dog and the cat won't go near him. Our friends won't come up anymore. Last night, I told him to go fuck himself. And you know what? He did. Day 16, the bastard has started to complain about headaches. I hope the bloody thing explodes. I did suggest that he might stop taking the Viagra and go back on the Prozac. Day 17, switched the pills, but it doesn't seem to have made any difference. Christ, here he comes again. Day 18, he's back on the Prozac. Now the lazy sod just sits in front of the TV all day long with the remote control in his hand and expects me to do everything for him. What absolute bliss. So that's the diary of a Viagra wife. Such a roller coaster ride, isn't it? It comes right around. And I have a joke about Viagra as well. So this man goes to the doctor and he asks for a double dose of Viagra, right? And the doctor told him, there's no way you can have that. The man is like, why not? Why can't I have it? And the doctor's like, because it's not safe. The man is like, oh, please, I really, really need a bed. And the doctor says, why do you need it? Why do you need it so badly? Tell me. And the man says, well, my girlfriend is coming to town on Friday. My ex-wife will be here on Saturday. And my wife is coming on Sunday. Can't you see? I need a double dose of Viagra, please. So the doctor finally gave in. He says, oh, okay, look, I'll give it to you. But you're going to have to come in first thing Monday morning so I can check you, see if there are any side effects. And the man says, fine. So on Monday morning, anyway, the man walks into the office and he's got his arm in a sling. And the doctor says, what the hell? What happened to you? And the man says, well, no one showed up. All right, that was bad. So I'm going to move on to some positive news stories, moving along very swiftly, getting out of Viagra land, get away from the weird and wacky, do you get it? World of Viagra for a while, and move away from the sordid world of the Viagra sisters. I know why I did that sound effect, but it seems to work for some reason, doesn't it? So I came across a very positive and touching news story the other day, and it's about a lady called Fiona Presley of Inverness in Scotland. She was out in her garden, and she was doing a bit of gardening, of course, and she noticed the queen bee. So she noticed that the bee was in a bit of distress, and instinctively she put down her hand, and the queen bee walked onto her hand, and she raised her hand and had a look, and she noticed that it had no wings. And she was like, wow. But she said she instantly formed a bond, you know, with the bee. And she actually called it, wait for it, bee. Which triggered a kind of a funny story in my mind as well. Because I remember my buddy's mother years ago, she had this dog called Tara. And Tara died. So she got another dog and she called that Tara. And that Tara died. And she got another dog and that Tara died. And like she's on about her fourth fucking Tara. Now her fifth Tara at the moment. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And I asked her one day, I said, why do you keep calling the dogs Tara? And she's like, Era, it's easy to fucking remember, isn't it? And I was like, holy shit. And I was like, I thought, like, why didn't you just call it dog? You know, like Fiona just called the bee. It'd be a lot easier, you know? So anyway, Fiona became inseparable from the bee. And she made this little makeshift garden, a little place for the bee to live out in her back garden. And she said that, like, you know, she'd walk out in the garden and the bee would make sort of click sounds and buzzing sounds when she was close by. And she would sit with the bee and she'd groom it and she'd feed it and she'd give it something to drink and let it sleep in her hand as well. And there's actually a picture now as well, lads. If you look it up now, Fiona Presley, or Vervinus, and have a look at the bees actually walking around their face, you know? It's actually crawling around their face. It's, so you know that story might sound weird and wacky, you know, if you weren't up on bees, you know? If you were asleep it up on bees, you would know that it's not a strange story. You can imagine someone reading that going, oh, please, it's just a bee. And that's the way humans can think sometimes. We can look at animals and we think, oh, please, it's just a bee. Oh, it's just a dog. Oh, it's just an elephant. It's just, you know, but no, it's, they're really, really fascinating. Like when you look into bees and you learn some of the facts about them, like even their, you know, their venom. They reckon now that their venom might be able to prevent HIV. You know, they're looking into that. And it also has anti-inflammatories in it to treat arthritis. You know, it can, you know, if you inject into people's arteries, it can relieve the symptoms. You know, honeybees can make out faces the same way humans do. They can, you know, the way a human, like when we look at a face, we kind of put the parts together to form the face so we remember the next time we see it. And the bees can actually do that, you know. I mean, scientists have done studies now. They actually do this thing as well called a bee dance. And you can look this up now, right? So like if you're a bee and you're flying into the hive, like, and but before you flew into the hive, you found this fucking amazing flower, and it was just really cool, like beautiful, juicy, like the mango of flowers, you know. And you were eating it and you were like, oh, I can't wait to go back and tell all the lads, hum, hum, oh, such a lovely, and it's like around your lips and you're like, ah, oh. So you fly back to the hive with your big fat belly, like, and you go, you're like full of mango, you know, and like, oh, the best mango ever. But you can't talk, so what do they do? They actually dance. They actually do dance. They're like, the other bees will gather around and they look at them and they'll kind of, you know, what they do is they kind of dance the directions, you know, ah, 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 ah. And it's like, 2 miles down that way, turn the corner. And they can do this with a 3 mile radius, you know. They'll give the directions, like they'll shake their tushes, you know, because they're like, they're all female bees. And they're like shaking their tushes, like, you go over there. And they actually give directions to the other bees to show them where the good food is at, like, you know. Can you imagine that? And like, it's just, it's crazy. And they, like, and they actually can get hooked on caffeine and cocaine as well, you know, the bees can, like, I think the flower gives off caffeine to keep the bee from pollinating on it, you know, but when the bee tastes it, of course, it's going to go crazy, like, and then when they go back to the hive, and if the cocaine is good, they don't, like, they'll tell lies, they'll bee dance, but they'll tell lies, you know, they'll like, throw the other bees off, like, where did you get that coke, and the bees, like, doing dance, and throw them all off. It's just unbelievable. I just made up a joke as well. What do you call a bee with an erection? A chubby. But they actually, you know, change their brain chemistry as well, you know, when they do different jobs. So, like, say they're, you know, they're going out and their job is to, like, pollinate and get honey. And then they can retire in the hive and become undertaker bees, which is really strange, isn't it? Like, they actually bring out the dead bees out of the hive. They go fetch the dead bees and bring them out. And they change their brains to suit that job. So they have to stop being busy and buzzy. And they kind of go into the, like, I don't know, probably like a black, you know, black suit and a tie. And they're like, you know, bringing out the bees and blessing them. This is actually, like, this is, it's just so amazing. They're also fun to have personalities, you know. And the purpose of the male bee is to bang. It does nothing else but bang. It's slightly more useful than men. Sorry, men. But it's just like, it's just and you know, when you first read Fiona's story, you're thinking, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when you read into it, it's like, wow. Like, you have bees that are just lone wolf bees that are not involved with any hive at all. They just go out and do their own thing. It's just like, wow. It's just an amazing world to learn about. Like, so I was there a few years ago and I was living with my friend in an apartment in the city, you know. And but we used to have this little clothesline, and it was out, you know, in the balcony of the apartment, and we used to dry our clothes, you know, obviously. But one summer, I remember I had a pair of jeans out, and I was drying them because we were going out later that evening, and I brought the pair of jeans back into the apartment anyway, and I was like ironing it and all that, and I lashed it on, and I was like, oh yeah, here we go into town, woohoo, let's do this. So I heading through the town anyway, and I was chatting away to him. Next day starts going, I, you know, put my hand down, this is dead true, like, and I put my hand down, and he goes, what the hell is that? I could feel like kind of a spider, you know, in between my legs. And then I felt boom, the sting, and I was like, fuck. fuck, it was unbelievable. Like, in between my legs, no, right? And it didn't hit the D or the B's. It was just like, instead, I was like, ah, and a heart, like, and I was screaming to my buddy. I was like, help me, help me. But the fucker is terrified of bees, right? And he's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do, boy? And so he legged it. He legged it. And he left me there, probably straight into the nearest pub, you know? And there I was, like, and I'm in the middle of the city now, right? And I, what am I doing? I'm pulling down my jeans. And I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, fuck, me balls off. In the middle of the city now, like, think you this now if you saw a madman like that, because no one else knows what's going on, you know. And I noticed it is a wasp, you know. I knew it was a wasp, and I know that they have a few stings, so I was really trying to keep them away from my Celtic warrior. And my hands are fucking waving around, they're like, ah, help me. And then this man approaches me, and he's looking at me kind of up and down. He's like, he's like, what's the matter, fella? And I'm like, ah, oh, fucking bed, my back of me, fucking, I'm stung in the fucking, stung between the legs by a fucking bee. And he just looks at me and he goes, hush, you know what you do now, boy? Ask the hospital to take away the pain but leave the swelling. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, did he really say that? And I'm laughing and I'm stung and I'm crying at the same time. And I'm like, ah, I mean, like, could you imagine it? Like, what people, as I said, were looking at, like, it's just like, ah. And the other langer then deserted me and he's gone. He made a beeline for the nearest pub, like. Oh my good God. It was just like, ah. But like, that is like the world of bees. Now, wasps, I don't know much about, but you know, the world of bees is just really, really fascinating. But look up Fiona's story anyway and have a read of it. It's just amazing. So I read as well recently that Britain has banned ivory for the most part. They're only allowing for certain exceptions, which I don't agree with at all. But anyway, violators will face up to 5 years in jail or an unlimited fine, which is, you know, good. But I think you should get a lot more now because, like, what the hell are they doing, you know? I mean, it's like, it's just, you know, it's taken from the elephants, and the elephants are killed for it as, you know, used as a status symbol. It's just ridiculous. Like, I mean, they're just butchering elephants. I mean, I think 30,000 African elephants are killed each year by poachers. I mean, think of that. Like, it's just frightening, you know. And, like, to do that to such an intelligent animal, I make no mistake about it again. I mean, elephants are just unbelievably intelligent. You know that I have one living here. Well, Sean, he has one living here, his pet elephant. But did you know that elephants actually paint? They actually paint. I'm going to link this video below, okay? And it's of an elephant painting a self-portrait. And you'll see them. And what's amazing about it is that they've got the brush in their hand. And, you know, you can see the intelligence because they'll stop and they'll look and they'll think, where am I going to go next with this? And they'll... like, the fucking things can paint better than I can. And it's not hard, I suppose. But they can, like, you know, they can stop and pause and they go, where am I going to go with this? And they have the brush on their trunk and they're kind of, you know, brushing down. And then they hand the brush back to whoever's helping them when the paint runs out. And they'll carry on and all that. And it's just unbelievable. Like, so, you know, what I say is, like, no more of this fucking ivory bullshit, you know. Leave them at it, shitheads. And while you're at that, while you're leaving them alone, leave lions, tigers, sharks and whales alone as well, you know. Leave them all alone. Leave them, you know, flourish. Leave them, you know, leave them live. Leave them live in peace. I mean, when it comes to whales, have you ever seen a whale blowing a rainbow through the blowhole? Like, this is like, the first time I saw this, I was like, holy shit. So I'm going to link this video below as well, and you can watch it. The whale is swimming away in the sea, and it just, like, you know, it blows once and then it blows the second time, and when it blows you see the rainbow forming, you know, with the spray. It's just so beautiful, like, it's just so amazing. So leave all those things alone, fucking humans, you bastards. And don't kill things that can fart rainbows. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh God. So two whales walk into a bar, right? And the bartender says, what can I get you, lads? So the first whale goes, and the second whale says, Jesus, Dave, you're drunk already, are ya? Which brings me to, two monkeys are about to have a bat, right? And the first monkey goes, and the second monkey goes, just put fucking some cold water in, by, will ya? And so I'm going to leave you with those two awful jokes. I hope you enjoyed my positive podcast, and I'm going to have some of my sparkling water, which I have here. Maybe make some sparkling water ASMR. Sponsored by Pellegrino. Oh my god, maybe I get like 2 million hits on YouTube now because I have the bubbles fizzing and stuff. Put in some more. Oh my god, I spilled it everywhere. Gotta suck it up from the table. Make an ASMR about that as well. Sucking water from the table ASMR. So relaxing. Cure my migraines. I really have to stop. So lads, I'll talk to you all soon again, and do another podcast for the crack, just for the crack, like. And I hope you all have a really, really nice time, and peace and love to everyone. Bye bye. Talk soon.